ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
तो ये ऐसा कहते हैं The yogi is able to understand that he and Super Soul are one. So one is the proper understanding to appreciate this world. The absolute truth exists in three stages. Vadanchita Tattvavidat, Tattvam Ijnanamatvam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shaktite. As impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan. And the primary student of the absolute truth is satisfied just by knowing that the absolute truth is impersonal. Even amongst your colleagues, you will see that many people are easily able to accept God as an impersonal being. You have seen that? As some energy. Thousands of people in the world they accept, lots of people they accept God being some impersonal being. So that is the lowest understanding. To think of God having no form, no attributes, no qualities, impersonal being. That's like if you see a cinema projector projecting on a screen, you also see the rays coming. But behind the rays there is a projector machine. And behind that machine there is a person standing. So in the same way, the impersonal life, which the impersonalist sees, is not the ultimate. It has its source elsewhere. It has to hide somewhere. Just like the impersonal life that is pervading the entire room, it has its source in the bulk. In the same way, the impersonal effulgence of Brahma Jyoti has its origin in the personality of Godhead, that is Krishna. In each Upanishad, which is a prayer offered by a devotee towards God, there are many interesting prayers. He says, Tatte jati tannai jati taddure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadgarvasya sabhasya. He says, Tatte jati tannai jati. The Lord does not walk, but yet He walks. Tad dure tad antike. He is inside and He is outside of everything. Not only that, it also is talking of many other demigods who are trying to chase Him, but they are not able to catch up His feet. So when you talk of walk, naturally you immediately think of a person, isn't it? How can an impersonal being walk? Not only that, as the prayers go on, at one point the devotee is offering a prayer, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyastatihitam Mukham Tattvam Pushannapa Vrinu Sakti Dharmaya Rishtaya. He is saying, Hiranyamaya means golden. Oh my dear Lord, the golden effulgence which is so dazzling is covering your beautiful face. Please kindly remove that covering so that I can behold your beautiful face. Satyastatihitam Mukham. Mukham means face. Atihitam means to put a covering. So the effulgence is covering your face. Your body and face is so glowing that I am not able to see your personality. So he says, Satyam Pushana Pavan Satya Dharmaya Drishti. I want to have a drishti of Satya, your original form. Please kindly remove that covering. Similarly, in the Upanishad it is said, in the Kena Upanishad it is said, Saha Aishyataha. Aishyataha means, it comes from the word Iksha. Iksha means to see. That's when you say Meenakshi. Meenakshi means one who has eyes like fish, as far as Meenakshi. So, Saha Aishyataha means the Lord's land. That is meaning of the word Saha Aishyataha. It's Upanishadic word. So, if Lord's land is the material nature and then all the creation sprang about, that means how can an impersonal Lord having no form or eyes glance? So naturally, even the Upanishads are talking about a personal God who is glancing. Or a devotee is praying to God, please kindly remove the dazzling effulgence so that I can behold your form. So in this way we can understand that behind this Brahma Jyoti, there is a personality of God. Whose bodily effulgence is Brahma Jyoti. So Many examples are given in this connection. As if you are passing in a train, from a distance if you see a hill, it may appear very blurred. It may appear like a cloud, you cannot see clearly. But when the train passes very close to the mountain, then you will see that in that mountain there are so many plants and trees. And then you take a closer look of the mountain. There are so many greenery in the mountain. But then when you go even much closer, you will find birds, you will find animals, you will find human beings going up, coming down, you will find waterfalls. There is so much variety there, if you go much closer. So the very same mountain, from different distances it appears differently. Similarly, the very same absolute truth is perceived by a jnani, by a yogi and a bhakta differently. And Krishna gives them understanding according to their desire. He doesn't give them understanding beyond their qualification. So he also is very intelligent to give them only what they exactly need. Only that much understanding Krishna gives. So when we talk of God in general, people think God is impersonal, God is existing everywhere, all the demigods are equal. This is called polytheism. Polytheism means accepting all gods to be equal. Sometimes those people argue, you see how nice is this philosophy, accepting all gods to be equal. Why should we discriminate? Let us have sarva dharma samabhavana. Let us accept all religions, let us accept all gods, all gods, all past beings lead to the same goal. This is the philosophy. But it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot accept anything and everything to be truth. You can accept only the verdict of God to be truth. It is said, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, who can give the Shastra's injunction? Who knows the word? Dharma to Sakshat, Bhagavat, Pranitam. Dharma, if you want to know Dharma, the Dharma can be given only by Bhagavat Pranitam, the Lord Himself. Nāve Rishiva Nāti Deva, Nādeva Mukhya Akrama Rishya, Kutol Vitya Karakarana Deva. The long list of people is given, who are unqualified to talk about Dharma. Even the great Rishi, even the Siddha Mukhya, Siddha Mukhya means head of the Siddha. Even they cannot predict about religion, even the Sarna, Vityadara, Gandharva, none of them is qualified to talk about God. God Himself has to tell who is He. He has to write about the scripture. So here is a word which says that there is only one ultimate path, that is the path of love, which God Himself teaches through the scriptures. And there are so many people claiming all gods are one. But you will see that these people have no understanding of what is love for God. Throughout Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, what is ringing behind the theme of all these verses is Ananya Bhakti. Ananya, Ananya means not anything other than this. Ananya, Ananya Bhakti. But Krishna says, Ananya Ketasar Hatatam, Yoma Smarati Nityasah. Similarly, Ananya Chintayan Toma. Mayisa Ananya Yogena Bhakti Radhya Vicharini. In any other way you can say in Ananya, there are many, many in Bhagavad Gita. Ananya Teta Satsuma. Yamam Smartan Sushi. I told this word. And Ananya Sintayan Toma. Malika Ananya Yajana Bhakra Vati Sarani. Anybody can think of Ananya and Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktya to Ananya Satsya Ahame Vam Vidorjana. Ananya Sintayan Toma. So you can find many verses like that. Where the Lord is talking about Ananya Bhakti. And not only that, he also clearly says in Bhagavad Gita that I am there and the demigods are also there. You can worship any of the two. He clearly says, in this way he says that, you know, yeah, Yanti Deva Pratadeva, Pitru Nyanti Pitru Vataha, Bhutani Yanti Bhutajya, Yanti Madhyajana Bhima. Those who worship me, they come to me, and those who worship Devadas, they go to the planets of the Devadas. He clearly says that. Very clearly says, there is no ambiguity in that. There is another word. Perhaps Krishna talks something similar. Who can say that? Anya Devata, he says. What's that verse? Ye Ati, Anya Devata Bhakta, Yajante Shraddhayanvita, Yeti Mameva Kanti Yajante Abhidhi Purvaka. They don't know they are having Abhidhi Purvaka. It is improper worship. So why does he use the word Anya Devata? If they all worship of everything is one, why should he say my worship and Anya Devata worship? So we can see like this, if somebody is saying all gods are same, equal, that means they are offending Krishna actually. Krishna's vision. It's like saying, You see, this telco company, why should we have so much differences between the managing director and a Kalachi worker in the lake? Let us have everything equal. Let everyone be equal. Let us call everyone as a managing director. Is it very nice? It may appear very nice. So he may be very proud that I am not a managing director. But the reality is that he is not managing director. He has this position and the MD has this position. And there is a hierarchy of positions. Not all are in the same position. There is one equality. All are human beings. When you strip out that dress, as a naked human body, they all are same. There is no difference in that. But when they have their separate positions, they have their roles. Similarly, in quality, there is no difference between Jiva and God. In quality, we are Satchidananda. And Krishna is also Satchidananda. Satchidananda Vigraha. But he is God and we are Anu. We are Anu and he is Jiva. We are infinitesimal and he is infinite. So this polytheism is very easy to defeat. There is nothing, no essence in that. So, people sometimes get stuck up in the Brahman understanding. They don't go beyond that. But beyond that is the Paramatma understanding. And then comes Bhagavan understanding. Let us try to relate it with an example. I have quoted this, but I will elaborate it so that it becomes very clear. Like if you take the example of Prime Minister of India. Now all of the citizens of India, the government of India, how is it? Can you give a form to government of India? What is the form of government of India? Yeah, it's a body. It's a whole body. Which functions in a way by which the entire India can be managed. Similarly, it is said, all the, if you see, at the origin, when it is explained about the origin of everything, it is said in one corner of Brahma Jyoti, everything begins. The Mahatattva comes, and when Mahatattva and Mahavishnu comes, and the Mahavishnu is expanding, creating many, many millions of universes from his body. In one corner of Brahma Jyoti, everything happens. So, some people think Brahma Jyoti is the source of everything. That's like government of India is controlling the whole India. But behind that government of India, there is Prime Minister of India, who is the person. That's like Ford. In Ford company, Ford is there in every department. Ford is known in every department, although he may not be personally present. Because the entire company, Ford company, is running because of that one person. Without whom the company has no separate existence. Similarly, the government of India is impersonal. But above that, you can see the Prime Minister in the parliament, where the Prime Minister is meeting all the MPs and all the MLAs. There, the personal form of Prime Minister can be seen, but it is seen in a mood of awe and veneration. It's called with names like Prime Minister. He is addressed in a very official language. Similarly, Krishna is also called as Supreme Brahman. That is not a very great name. But beyond Brahman, he is also addressed by various names. Like if you see the prayers of demigods, they pray to Krishna saying that, oh super soul, oh maintainer of the universe, oh supplier of food, oh controller of three modes of material nature. So if you carefully observe these names, these are all called as secondary names. Because secondary names always talk of God, God's connection with the material nature. And devotees never like to talk of Krishna's name, which has a connection to material nature. Because material nature is a flickering temporary existence which is actually short-lived and which is incremental part of the Lord's entire creation. So why should you connect the Lord to material creation and talk about such names? Like, oh Lord, controller of three modes of material nature. Devotees never glorify him like that. So sometimes demigods glorify Krishna like that. Oh, super soul. So these are official names of Krishna, secondary names. So Prime Minister is addressed like that in the parliament by all these men. The morning when Prime Minister enters, immediately everyone stands up. Like you see in any company, isn't it? If the managing director is coming, immediately everyone stands up and says, good morning, sir. Everyone wishes the managing director when he enters in every department. Similarly, in parliament, he is greatly respected by the people. And what is the relationship they have with him? How much do they know about the Prime Minister? They only attend to the agenda, whatever is there in the meeting. Do they know what are the items liked by the Prime Minister? What subject he likes the most? What clothes he likes to wear? Which color he likes the most? What are his tastes? What are his likes and what are his dislikes? They have no understanding of that. Because it's official relationship. But when the Prime Minister goes home, There are his relatives and friends who know everything about him. Like his mother, she knows everything, what my son likes. She may even know that my son is the Prime Minister of India. But she may be really concerned about that aspect of him. She doesn't, as soon as the son goes home, she doesn't tell him, "Good morning, Prime Minister." She doesn't have to tell him. Or she doesn't say, "Because the Prime Minister is living in our home, every morning when I see him, I have to wish him." She doesn't do that. She hardly thinks about her son as the Prime Minister. She just treats him as her son. And she knows what clothes he likes, what clothes he likes to wear, what he doesn't like, what is allergic to him, which he hates, everything she knows. Similarly, you see, devotees in Vaikuntha have the relationship of Lord Ramachandra and Hanuman. That is the mood of power and reverence. But you see how Hanuman is serving Ram by going to Sri Lanka and meeting Mother Sita and trying to bring back Mother Sita, is helping. So he always likes to be a dad. You see any picture of deity of Sita, Ram, Lakshmi, Hanuman, where is Hanuman sitting? Huh? As Lord has said. But have you seen Krishna Balaram and Vrindavan? How do you find Balaram? Not just standing together, he is putting his hand on Krishna's shoulder. Not that Krishna is having his hand on his shoulder. Balaram is having his hand on Krishna's shoulder. Actually, the deity has a deeper meaning. Balaram keeping his hand on Krishna is to reassure Madhurachandra. Don't worry about the chance that I am taking care of him. Because he was always afraid about that younger son. That Krishna is very mischievous, he is running here and there. So he said, "I will take care of him, don't worry." So he is putting his hand on Krishna like that. And always, all the covered boyfriends and gopis, they all have very close relationship with Krishna. So Mother Yashoda knows what Krishna likes, what he doesn't like. She knows that. What dress he likes to wear. Krishna likes to wear which color? Yellow color, golden. Pitambari likes to wear yellow color. Radharani likes to wear blue color. Because he likes to wear yellow color because it's Radharani's color. So, in this way, Lord also has taste, spiritual taste, and likes and dislikes. So the devotee knows that. What item is liked by the Lord the most? He knows that. So there is a very intimate relationship with Bhagavan and his associates. So Prime Minister at home has the most loving, intimate relationship. And that is addressed by his primary name, Yashodananda, the primary name. Because it is not talking about Lord's connection to material world, it is talking about Lord's connection to his devotee. That is the way it is called. That is why even in the ancient times you see, like Sita, one of the names of Sita is Janaki. You know that? You know how the word name Janaki came? Daughter of Janaka. So if you see in Bhagavatam, many, many names you will find which has a connection to that father. Anybody can recollect any other name? Kunti. Kunti Bhoja's daughter. Kunti, Draupadi. Daughter of Drupada is Draupadi. So you can quote innumerable names like that. In the same way, in this world, when you talk somebody's name in connection to their parents or in connection to their birthplace, people feel very happy about that. Immediately, like if they call any one of you, Kolhapur wale, how will they feel? If anybody is from Kolhapur here, immediately you become alert. Who calls me? As if Kolhapur belongs to you. You feel like that, isn't it? Because you identify with the place. Similarly, if I call some surname, nowadays people have similar surnames in different parts of Maharashtra. They don't have any connection to their family also. But they have the common surname. You have seen that? Isn't it? But then as soon as you hear the surname, immediately you know, who calls me? Who wants me? Immediately become alert to that. Because you identify with that name. So in the same way, Krishna also can be quickly attracted if you call him where he has his root connection, where he is feeling connection. Like if you call Krishna as, "Oh super soul, here I am." Oh, who is the source of three motor material nature? He is not going to hear you. In fact, on the Nandotsav day, when Yashoda Rani, she brought Krishna and kept in a carriage, and there was a huge festival there. There were bards who were singing poetry, and there were people playing varieties of instruments, and people were sprinkling sacred waters on other people like that. And everywhere there was decision made, And there were some group of Brahmanas who were chanting the Vedic mantra. And when they began to chant loudly, then Vedic Krishna, he went to sleep. So he went to sleep. He got sleepy. Because the Vedic mantras are simply glorifying Krishna by talking about his connection to the material nature. Talking of him as, you know, you can read the prayers with the Upanishad Veda. But how many pages is it? 57 pages. You can read that. Let me see how many of you don't get sleep for reading the 57 pages. You have to have a lot of strength to sit and read that entire section. So Krishna gets bored by the secondary name. But if somebody calls him by primary name, Yashodananda, immediately he becomes alert. Because Krishna knows his devotees, especially the pure devotees, the most. And immediately he responds to you. If you talk of Krishna, that is why we use the word Hare Krishna. In the Mahamudra we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Why? Because the word Hara represents the name of Radharani. And Siddhartha Radharani, the meaning of the word Hara is one who has stolen the heart of Lord Hari. It's called as Hara. So this is one of the most cherished names by Krishna. So not only are you attracting Krishna, when you say Hara, immediately Krishna becomes alert. He is saying, who is calling this name? I want to immediately know. And say, Krishna. And Radharani becomes alert. Who said Krishna's name? So they say, you're making both of them alert immediately. Then they say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Immediately both of them say, who is calling my name? Who is calling my beloved's name? And they say, we can quickly draw the attention of Radha Krishna. That is why we chant this Mahamantra. Like that. So we should address by primary name. We can easily understand this. Even any of us, we are actually addressed by our primary name. Like the name which your mother addresses you. Mother may call you by whatever nickname. At home, whatever she has said, you like to be called by that name. But if you are called by your boss in the company, if your mother one day comes and serves your food and says, oh manager, please take food, how will you like it? The wife, why comes to you and says, oh work manager, how do you do? How will you feel? Isn't it? You will feel disgusted. Yes, it's a name. You want to be called by a very personal name. In fact, in Vrindavan, they don't even call Krishna, they call him as Kannaya, isn't it? Like people have nicknames, short names his parents call. So they don't call, like there was some Padmanabha, these people used to call him as Pad. Very easily, people call him, huh? Same way, Krishna has many brief names and Krishna likes to be called by such names. Huh? So, Krishna, not only we are persons, Krishna also is a person. Huh? Krishna is also a person, he is sentient. He has feelings and emotions. So he wants to be addressed by his primary name. So if you compare these three people, the Jnani who is worshipping the Brahman, he only knows the government. That means it's like citizens of India who don't have any access to the Prime Minister. How many of you had a personal talk with the Prime Minister? None of them. Because they are just citizens, isn't it? So Jnanis don't have any personal connection with Krishna, if you see. In fact, first of all, they have no understanding of Krishna's personality. They think God is impersonal. But after many, many lifetimes of worshipping the impersonal Brahman, they come to the point of understanding Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatmasu Dharlabha. Then they understand that Lord Vasudeva is supreme. And those who are Paramatmavadis are yogis. Actually, not all the yogis are Paramatmavadis. You have to understand that. Because Yama, Niyama, Prana, Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, and asana when they do, this is called as Hatha Yoga. Simply to control the, body and the mind. Because the pranayama, the mind can be controlled. By asana, the body can be controlled. So by asana, pranayama, put together mind and body are controlled. So this is Hatha Yoga. But beyond that there is pratyahara. Closing all the senses. Then there is dharana. But by the time one comes to pratyahara, it is said that one is rewarded with so many siddhis. That one becomes captivated by that. And one does not resist for that. One stops his yogic practice, leaves everything and starts showing off to people. What are the siddhis I have? I can create ash, or I can create gold, or I can walk on water, fly on sky. I can see behind the wall. People do so many things. They can penetrate like an atom to the other side of the wall. People get caught up in such siddhis. So they are not Paramatmavadis at all. They have not yet seen Paramatma. But if one goes to dharana, jnana, and matures up in his Ashtanga yogic practice, then he begins to see the Paramatma, like we were reading in the previous verses. He begins to see the Paramatma in his heart. And then in the stage of samadhi, the person can clearly see Paramatma. And that a person can leave the body by focusing his mind on the Vishnumurti form, as explained to Patanjali. Patanjali also explained about Vishnumurti. So if one sees this Vishnu at the time of death and leaves his body, then he can achieve the Vaikuntha planet directly. And if he wants, he can go to any planet, either Vaikuntha or from Siddhaloka, Chandraloka, Charnaloka, anywhere he can go, talk to him. But yogis who are attached to material desires, they will be going to some Siddhaloka to get some more peace from that. Whereas, if a Paramatma body has become a perfected being, completely has achieved love for Paramatma, purely, then he can go to the Vaikuntha planet. But even in Vaikuntha, his relationship is not as intimate as the devotees have for Krishna in the Goloka. Goloka is the topmost Vaikuntha planet. Even amongst all the Vaikuntha planets, what is the topmost planet? Goloka. This is like the intimate relationship with of the Prime Minister. Like I said, the relatives of Prime Minister have a very special relationship with him. Like that, Krishna's intimate devotees have relationship in five ways. Shantaras, Dasaras, Saksharas, Vatsalaras and Madhavaras in five verses. Whereas in Vaikuntha you will only find Dasatva, Dasaras, Shantaras and Dasaras only you find. You don't find anything beyond that. So Hanuman's relationship with Lord Ram is like that. It's in the mood of Das. And he doesn't consider it in any way shorter or any way smaller with the love of gopis for Krishna. He is very satisfied within that. This is the glory of God. He keeps everyone satisfied in that position. Hanuman never says, I want to become like Gopal in the Goloka Vrindavan. He never wants to be intimate like that. In fact, he hates when somebody being so intimate with the Lord. Because he wants to see that Lord has a unique position of respect. Because we just can't imagine, like just imagine if you are marrying that they're coming and somebody is coming and putting hands on their shoulder, how will they say? You will think he is ignorant, he is a fool, he doesn't know how to behave decently. But he may have a special relationship, like if a man is managing that they stand, you have never seen. He comes to the office and he opens the room of the managing director, he goes into his room, he is sitting in his seat and he is pointing up somebody, he is going here and there and meddling with the things in his room. You will think he is mischievous, he is a fool. But if you know that he is his own son, then you will not mistake. In the same way, one cannot understand Krishna's devotee's behavior with Krishna, which is very, very intimate. Because as long as we are in the mood of fond reverence, we cannot appreciate that. But if the Krishna's devotees in the spiritual sky, especially Goloka Vrindavan, they don't see him as God. Do you know that? They don't see Krishna as God at all. If they see him as God, then they cannot have such spontaneous love. It is not possible. They don't see him like that. That is why it is called as Yoga Maya. Maya means energy. So Mahamaya means the insurmountable material energy. Yoga Maya means, what is the meaning of the word yoga? Link. Yoga comes from the word which, to connect. So Yoga Maya means that energy which connects you to the Lord and which puts a kind of veil around you by which you cannot know the supremacy of the Lord. And you will see him as a very intimate friend, or as a very intimate lover, or as a very intimate child. So one will see like that. So these five letters, Shantaras, Dasaras, Saksharas, Vatsalaras, and Madhavaras. So people are in Yoga Maya, that they represent Krishna in love, like that. So after hearing all these descriptions, one can easily understand what will one want to be. Who will want to simply have a relationship with the government of India? Who will just want to have a relationship with the Prime Minister in the Parliament, a very official relationship? Naturally, one would want to have a very intimate, loving relationship. And that is actually that within every living entity. The relation is that. Even in Srimad Bhagavad Gita beginning, introduction Prabhupada writes about these five relationships. That every living being is under religious relationship with Krishna. Yes, you have to revive it. That's all one has to do. So, if a Paramatma Vadi, if he is perfect, where will he go? But he will begin from Jnani. The Jnani, where will he go if he has transcended reality? Of Sukha Dukkha Samayakrutva. If he has completed state, where will he go? Brahma Jyoti. Is Brahma Jyoti the ultimate destination where he stays forever? Why? There is no activity there. Because there is no activity and the soul is potentially very active, he falls back. Patantiyado Anar Krishna Dangare. Exactly like? Exactly like what? Yeah, rocket. All of you have rocket example? If the rocket goes in the sky and there's no planet where it can land, then it falls back like the Kailash which fell some years ago. You have heard about Kailash? You must have been quite small at that. Some maybe 10, 15 years ago? 1979. When Kailash was falling down, people were saying, we don't know where is it going to fall, if it falls in the ocean or if it falls in the city. But wherever it falls, something like about 10 12 kilometers, it's going to affect that much circumference. And scientists are trying to divert it and, you know, throw it in the ocean. So, in the same thing, when an impossible falls back, nobody knows where it is going to fall. Whether it will fall and begin an open hospital, or will open schools, or will simply become a central affair, it's unpredictable. So one cannot stay in the Brahmajyoti for a long time. It's a, one may stay for a long time, but then one has to fall back. It's not a permanent position, Brahmajyoti. And then Paramatma was where does he go? Do you know Samadha Paramatma was also has impersonal conception? They perform Ashtanga Yoga, but then they do not know the personality of God. So they think God is impersonal, so they also go to Brahmanandi. But there are some Paramatmavadis who take guidance from a guru, for example Narada Muni, and also Dhruva Maharaj, who performed Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. But they took actually guidance from the spiritual master. Like Narada associated with the Bhakti Vedanta, who came to his house. And then through that he accepted the knowledge about Krishna, because he has Krishna Kata. That's Pranvaham Krishna Kata, Pragayatam, he has Krishna Kata, he has Krishna Kata. They were all great devotees, so he knew the form of the Lord. So later on, when his mother died, when all the Bhakti Vedanta went to the Chaturma period, the Narada walked, he crossed the ocean, I mean he crossed the rivers, he crossed many mountains and forests and everything, and at last he came to a place where he took a fresh bath and then he sat in meditation. But his meditation was not concocted. It was according to the direction given by the great devotees. So, when Narada was meditating like that, immediately Lord appeared in front of him. How? He appeared in Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. Prabhupada explains here in this purport. Yogi who is practicing meditation on the Supreme Soul sees within himself the plenary portion of Krishna as Vishnu with four hands holding conscious wheel, club and lotus flower. The yogi should know that Krishna is not different from Krishna. So, that Krishna, he appeared in front of him immediately. Lord has four things with them, Shankh Chakra and Gada and Padma. Shankh and Padma, they both are for devotees. And Gada and Chakra are for demons. It is said Lord Gada is called as Kamodiki, which is always tainted with blood because of killing the demons, it is said. And Lord has a shankh also which represents auspiciousness. And you can see the lotus, which is the epitome of softness. We use the word God as a lotus feet, there's a lotus face. In fact, lotus is so soft. In this world, there is no material object that can be utilized as a simile or a upama for the Lord's body. The Lord's entire body is made up of Satyananda Vigraha, which is like lotus. That is why Smriti Maharani tried to give some explanation about the Lord. He said, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Malini, Namo. You may say, what is this so many times they are using only Pankaja? Why don't they give a different example? But Pankaj is an appropriate example. You should see the lotus, thousands of the lotus. So, Lord Vishnu protects the devotee and kills the demon. And in this particular form, he appeared in front of Narada Muni. He appeared. And in the same way, Lord appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj also. When Dhruva performed severe penances, Lord appeared in front of him. So this is the ultimate achievement of the yogi, where he can see Paramatma face to face. And then such a yogi may be transported to the Vaikuntha planet. Because as soon as he sees the Lord, he doesn't maintain any desire for getting some siddhis or getting some material benefits. He completely leaves all of them. Like Dhruva Maharaj went with the desire of getting some material benefits. But when he saw Paramatma, immediately he lost that desire. And Paramatma, Lord Vishnu kept his shankha on his head and empowered him to speak such wonderful words after that. So they go to the Vaikuntha planet. There is a discussion in Krishna book in Bhagavatam 10th canto, where Krishna is telling Balaram, my dear Balaram, just see these trees. All of them, they are wrapped in meditation upon you. They must have been great yogis in their previous lives and must have completely paid attention and wrapped attention must have worshipped. That is why now they have become trees. They must have been, he is explaining like that. Either impersonalist or a yogi, a jnana yogi, somehow or other, at the end of their life, if they had become connected to Krishna, they go to the spiritual sky, Goloka, but there they become trees, enchanters. Because yogis like to simply meditate, they don't involve in active service like devotees. So they become, they occur the position of chanters in Goloka Vrindavan, or in Vaikuntha. So, even if you see, somebody was asking a good question. What is the difference between Dasaras in Vaikuntha and Dasaras in Goloka? Isn't it always there? Is your son better happy a Das in Goloka? So what is the difference? In Goloka, even in Dasaras there is more intimacy with the Lord compared to the Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha of Dasaras is very, very powerful, very prominent. That is why if somebody is in Vaikuntha and wants to be a little more intimate with the Lord, then they are transported to Goloka. Goloka Vrindavan, where one can be much more closer, more intimate. So, in this way, the yogi perceives the Vishnu. So, he may either achieve Brahman or Vaikuntha, or he may achieve Goloka, depending on what was his ultimate meditation. Depending on that, he achieves that. Now, here in this verse, it is said that one has to understand that the super soul is non-different from Krishna. How can it be understood?